Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Glad you're listening today. Well, here's my question for you. When you hear the word chosen, what comes to mind? When you hear the word chosen, what comes to mind? Maybe you've been passed over for an important job promotion or potential relationship. We've all felt that, you know, sting of rejection at some point in our lives. But it makes it hard to understand and grasp that God has actually chosen us, that he loves us, that he loves us each uniquely. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's so taken with you that he's numbered the hairs on your head? He knows your name. He knows what breaks your heart. He's chosen you, and he will not reject you. If you are in Christ, you're a brand new creation. You are sealed for the day of redemption. You know, once in a while, we just have to pause and remember what it means to belong to Jesus. In fact, if you remember the disciples, they came back to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, the demons obey us. You know, like this power stuff is real. And because Jesus loved when faith was exercised, I thought for sure he would say, yeah, I've told you this faith stuff works. But he didn't. He said to the disciples, don't marvel that the demons obey you. Like, I already told you that would happen. That's my little addition there. But he says, marvel that your name is written in the book of life. I just think that the wonder of our salvation, the miracle of our transformation should never be lost on us. His love endures forever. We are chosen by God, and nothing can separate us from his love. So what we're going to talk about this first hour is the life of David in the Old Testament and how David's relationship with God really shows us God's enduring love for us. I'm excited to be talking to Sheila Walsh. She's a favorite. She'll be on with me in just a moment. Well, then second hour, my other good friend, Dr. Troy Spurrell, joins the program to talk about the connections between our physical and our spiritual health. You know, there are so many chronic illnesses and symptoms that we live with, and a lot of them are connected to our emotions and memories and things we've been connected to or things that have happened to us. I'm so intrigued by this because of my own health journey. Every month we have Dr. Troy on, and we can't even get to all the calls. And I just think you're going to be very interested to hear what he has to say because health is a multi-layered thing. And I tell you, healing happens in a multi-layered way as well. I think you'll be super interested to hear what Dr. Troy has to say. A couple of quick announcements, though, before we get to my first hour guest, Sheila Walsh. I want to welcome those of you listening in at 93.1 FM in Waterloo. So love to hear from you. If you're new to the Faith Radio family, you can sign up for a new listener welcome packet on our website for free, myfaithradio.com. You'll get some information on our programming and a sampler CD of some of the best of programming. Pop that into your car when you're driving. You'll have your own faith nourished in no time. Also want you to know that our fall share event is coming up in just a few weeks. And we are a listener-supported ministry. I'm telling you what, we are growing by leaps and bounds because of the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of our listeners. So I pray that you'll be praying for what God would have you do in this next season because the hope of the earth is pure and simple. It's Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the earth. Right now, we have the freedom to broadcast his name without fear for our lives. So may we take advantage of the day while we have it. So would you be praying about your involvement in the ministry of Faith Radio? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sheila Walsh is a best-selling author, Bible teacher, television host, and founder of international ministry Braveheart Sisterhood, as well as a singer-songwriter. She's sold more than 5 million books and reached more than 5 million women. She lives in Frisco, Texas with her husband Barry, her son Christian, and 3 little dogs. She's got an influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And Sheila, I hope it's okay to say this, but you're joining us with an injury. I mean, it would have been so easy for you to cancel. Thank you for being with us today.
Susie, there's something about, I'm sure your viewers and your listeners communicate this to you, but there's something about your voice that is so comforting that even if I'm sitting here, yeah, I have this pinched nerve in my neck, which is, you know, I probably slept the wrong way. But even if I'm just listening to your voice, you have such a soothing voice. There's something so beautiful about the way that you speak that I know that a lot of people tune in just because they feel the presence of the Father just from you being there.
Wow. Sheila, that's amazing. And, you know, I know you have your own stories, but back when I was writing and speaking and I uttered that dream, I would love to work in radio someday. A woman said, scowled her face and she said, you could never work in radio. You don't have the voice for it. And I tucked that away going, oh, bummer.
But I got the opposite. I was told I had the face for radio. I shouldn't be on television.
Yeah, I guess they find you, don't they, these comments that these people with the gift of discouragement come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, thank you for that. I'll tuck that away in replacement of that other comment. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, we always start out our conversations talking scripture, and you chose an awesome passage from John 15, verses 15, 16. I happen to like your voice as well. Do you have it in front of you, or do you want me to read it?
I do.
I'd love for you to read it.
I really love this because these two verses were spoken over me the night that I was baptized in my small Baptist church on the west coast of Scotland. And I'll never forget our pastor, you know, just looking me in the eyes and saying, you know, as John quoted Christ, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friends. And I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I cannot tell you, Susie, throughout the years how often I have taken comfort in the fact that this wasn't my idea, that this was God's idea. You know, when you feel as if you're just in one of those seasons where you're producing not very much, you know, you might be working as hard or trying to do as much, but you just don't seem to be producing very much fruit. I love the fact that I can rest on that, where it says, listen, don't worry about this. This wasn't your idea. You didn't choose. I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit. And I've come to the place in my life where I rest in the fact that most trees don't bear fruit all year, you know? So I've decided to let it be God's decision where the fruit appears, mm-hmm. because that was his idea in the beginning.
Boy, and when you get to that place, it's really, I think, easier to understand the cease striving and know that I am God passage in Psalm 46:10, because when we realize more is on his shoulders than on ours and that it starts with him and finishes with him, we stop making it about us. And I don't know about you, Sheila, but when I get to that place and I kind of get into that mindset, both the rejection of man and even the praise of man stop meaning as much and weighing as much to me. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have put it better. That's exactly right. That there will be times when I met a woman recently, I didn't even really know her, but she just asked if I would have coffee. And she said, you know, I'm struggling with the fact that God seems to use you a lot as a speaker, because technically I think I'm a better speaker than you are.
Oh, my goodness.
You
know, oh, wow. Okay.
I looked at it and I said, you know what? That's probably absolutely true. I said,
wow.
I haven't heard of you. I've not had the privilege. I mean, if I get a chance, but here's the point, it's irrelevant, because God doesn't choose us according to our ability. It's not like he thinks, oh, well, look at her over there in Minneapolis, man, she's just walking at the park. No, God decides. I mean, I often think of when the prophet Samuel was sent to Jesse's house to anoint a future king. I mean, Samuel did what any of us would do. He said to Jesse, could you bring all the boys out? So Jesse brings all his sons out, and the oldest son, Eliab, is like this, totally looks like a king, handsome, tall, strong. Samuel naturally assumes this must be the guy. But God says, no, you don't get it. I don't look on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. So you're absolutely right. And on the days when things go really well, I get it. I mean, I almost feel like I should just want to high five God and say, nice one. You did it again.
Yeah.
And the days when you get a lot of negative feedback, you just think, you know what? This was never about me in the first place. So, you know. We'll just carry on. We'll take the next step.
I got to ask how the rest of that lunch went with the audacious woman.
You know, it actually went really well, because I said to her.
Because you're gracious, that's why.
I was curious more than anything, because I said to her, can I just ask you, it seems that's an unusual. I can't imagine a scenario where I would like want to grab something and sit down with them. And I said, so I want to know the story behind the question. And I discovered she had 6 months left to live. She had discovered that she had cancer.
Right.
And she has always wanted to be used. And she felt like, I have this gift and nobody's ever noticed and now I'm never going to get to use it. And, you know, it's one of those things, Susie, you know, I think I've told you this before, but every single day I pray, Lord, today, give me eyes to see what I am going to miss and give me ears to hear behind what people are saying, to what they're really saying, what's really going on in their heart. And honestly, I think it was just a cry for help, you know.
Wow.
But without the Holy Spirit, I'd have totally missed it.
Wow. Well, you and I have talked about this before, and I've probably addressed it too many times on this show, but it's just a burden of my heart where the celebrity mentality has infiltrated Christianity in America, I believe. And there are times, I feel like we're kind of moving past it now, but there was at least a season when we celebrated gifting more than character. And so right. dangerous, because if the person doesn't have the undergirding of character, the gifting may get them there, but it won't keep them there. Enemy knows that, and he can just dishonor, you know, just Christianity because that person wasn't ready to win their battles in that place. Maybe speak to that whole idea, especially for the person who feels like they're in hiding in obscurity, but God is getting them ready so that they can stand there and win there.
You know, I think it's so interesting. When they... you know, I've been spending a couple of years just parked in 1st and 2nd Samuel and also in the Psalms, just in studying and reading about the life of David, the life of King Saul. And one of the things I found interesting, when I grew up in Sunday school in Scotland, and I'm sure it's the same here, when we would do depictions in fuzzy felt or whatever it was of the battle between, you know, Goliath and all the Israelites, we always made Goliath about 9 feet tall, which is what most Bible translations have them. They have them inordinately tall. But when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, and part of what they discovered there was actually part of 1 Samuel, which made it the oldest document, the oldest that had ever been available, it actually places Goliath at about 7 feet four, which would, what that would have said was that King Saul was known to be a head and shoulders taller than most of his men. So what that would have told me was that Saul might have had the height of a king, but he didn't have the heart of a king, because when he saw this danger coming against him, he immediately retreated. He should have been the one out there going face to face, you know, to Goliath. It took a little boy like David, because by the time that he was sent out to see his brothers, he was probably, most commentators agree, he's about 14 or 15. He's not like he's 25 or anything. My. He's still a teenage boy. But when he hears somebody coming against the army of the Lord, he's enraged. And I love the fact that the charisma vanishes really quickly when you're under threat. You know, as long as you're on a platform and the light is shining on you, it can look great. But the minute life gets difficult or threatening, or you might have to actually place your life on the line, charisma dissipates faster than the morning mist, and that's when character kicks in. Because the thing is, you know, Saul had fought so many battles, and everybody had seen him, everybody had applauded. Who watched David when he was out there on the fields alone at night, singing his psalms to God, fighting a bear, you know, fighting a lion, rescuing his little sheep, writing out his praise songs to the Lord? It was in that tucked away place where nobody but the Lord saw him, that David was preparing to become a king.
Powerful. Don't you love it when Sheila joins us? Talking to Sheila Walsh today. Got two copies of her amazing book, The Longing in Me, How Everything You Crave Leads to the Heart of God. We're going to talk more about that. That whole idea, the longing to be chosen, well, she says it's primal. We're going to talk about that because God chooses you. He loves you. If you've got a question, you can email it to me. I want to give Sheila all the time I can. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Also, give me your mailing address if you want your name to go in the drawing for a copy of Sheila's great book. More with Sheila Walsh when we return. Repeat in my morning prayer time. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to our friend Sheila Walsh, beautiful, dear sister of God, great speaker and author. Title of her brand new book that we're celebrating today, The Longing in Me, How Everything You Crave Leads to the Heart of God. Hear that song? You are wonderful. Have you paused recently to just consider how wonderful God is and the fact that He loves you. As I said at the open, he doesn't roll his eyes at you, breathe a heavy sigh because of you. He's sold on the idea of you. Yet we chase around. We try to build our own sense of worth. We drink from broken cisterns that don't satisfy. We're going to unpack some of the longings that we carry that Sheila says really are reveal a craving deep, deep inside that send us to the arms of the Lord. And the first one I'd love for you to unpack a bit is just that longing to be protected. Talk about that one, Sheila.
You know, it's one of the lessons in life that we either learn at an early age that we are going to be protected or that we are not going to be protected. And depending on whether, you know, we had a good, healthy upbringing, whether our, you know, our family of origin was really intact and things went well, and then usually that will lead you into making good choices. I remember when I had the privilege of working for a year with Dr. Henry Cloud, Henry and I shared a platform, and often we would, you know, he would fly back home and maybe get home, you know, kind of late on a Saturday night. And, you know, he has two daughters, and at that time, you know, they were quite young. And he said to me that he's so intentional about when he gets home. He said, honestly, all I want to do is kind of go in the house, go into my study, close the door, and just unwind for 40 minutes. And he said, but what I will teach my girls in doing that is to look for a man who is not there for them. And he said, I do not want to set my daughters up for that. So he said, I walk through the front door, and I get down on my knees, and I throw my arms open, and I play with my girls because I want them to know that that's what healthy looks like. And I think that that touched me so deeply when Henry talked about that way with his daughters, because my experience was really different. And it wasn't my father's fault. I mean, you know, a brain injury changed everything for him. And then eventually, of course, you know, he ended up committing suicide. But the lesson that I learned was not only that I wasn't going to be protected, but the bizarre, twisted message I took away was I should never speak up for myself again. Because when I did speak up for myself as a five-year-old, it caused chaos in the whole family. You know, my father was taken off to psych hospital where he took his own life. My mom lost her husband, my sister, and my brother lost their father. And I kind of grew up with this primal lesson of do not ever seek to be protected again, because when you do, it will cost others very deeply.
You know, I grew up in a big family, large Catholic family, actually. I had a sense of God being real, but I didn't understand that Jesus was near. Great parents. But I suffered at the hands of teenage boys in the neighborhood, which sent a totally different message to me, and spent my lifetime overcoming the canyon of, you know, self-loathing and insecurity and fear and all of that, that God could have done something, it seems, but he didn't. And that, you know, I don't struggle with that question anymore, but I know so many do. Sheila, it's hard to reconcile this God who allows things. It feels like he could step in, but he doesn't. He's all-knowing, but he allows certain things. What do you say to the person who's feeling that very real disconnect? Okay, I read promises to protect, but he doesn't always physically protect. So what does it mean?
I think that is one of the greatest challenges of real faith. And I don't mean just, you know, marginal church going. But if you're serious about having a radical, real, fiery faith, this is one of the greatest issues you will ever struggle with. And that is holding these two things to be profoundly true at the same time. One, that God is all sovereign, all powerful, meaning he can do anything. And two, he is all loving. Because naturally we think, I mean, I remember having a conversation with a woman who said, you know, I found it so offensive when you shared that on stage tonight, because you're going to have to pick one. They can't both be true. Wow. And the deeper I dug, I realized she has buried two children.
Wow.
And she said, put yourself in my situation, Sheila. Let's go with your first, you know, assumption that God is all powerful. I've buried two boys, so he's not all loving. Or if you want to switch it and say God's all loving, I've still buried two boys, so he's not all-powerful, or he would have stopped it. And, I mean, I think that it's one of the greatest challenges, and I so wish I had some little tiny verse tucked away in the book of Nehemiah that gave a perfect answer to that. And the answer is I don't. What I do believe is that God has promised that even out of the worst circumstances, that he will bring good. Now, does that mean that everything is good? Absolutely not. Does it mean everything feels good? Absolutely not. Has God committed himself, and he's not man that he should lie, that even out of the worst circumstances, he will, over time, bring good? I've seen that. I've seen that in friends of mine. Mm-hmm. One of my friends who's buried a little baby boy, and now she can minister to other women who have lost children that wouldn't entertain listening to me because I don't understand the pain. So it's one of those great questions. I wish I had a great answer, and I don't. But the more I get to know God, and that for me was the greatest takeaway from studying, you know, giving a couple of years of my life to just studying the life of David, because I wanted to know, why did you call him a man after your own heart when he screwed up so badly? But I came to understand that it's the fact that David is willing to wrestle with the best of himself and the worst of himself, own both, and fall on his knees before a God that he doesn't always understand, that made me realize that's what God is looking for.
Yeah, it indeed is. And Sheila, not ever that I would want to walk through some of the stuff I walked through as a 9 and 10-year-old, but I will tell you, it has been my mission to make that enemy sorry he messed with me, and I can't get out of my heart my compassion for the human traffic victim, for the person on the receiving end of a bully. And I love the grit that God has put in my soul that would not be there any other way. And it's small, truly, what I've walked through compared to what the millions walk through today. God knew the day that we would be in. And it's like, you know what? If it's a trade-off, it's a trade-off. But I know he's sovereign and I know he's good. Well, we've got to take a break in about a minute and a half. But set up this longing. We'll take it on the other side of the break. This longing for how things used to be. Speak to that for a minute, if you would.
You know, it's so interesting. So often I think we think, well, if we could just get back to that, then life would be great. You know, if we're always looking at life in the rearview mirror. But as long as we're looking at life in the rearview mirror, we're completely missing what God has just up ahead. And I talk to so many women who say, if we could just go back to that time in our church, if I could just go back to that time in my marriage, or if I could just go back to my children being this again. But that leaves you stuck with regret. And regret is something that will drain your soul. So, let's look at what it means to move out of that place into a place where you're open to see God do new things again.
Hmm. So maybe you're that person listening today and you long to go back to that time before the divorce, before the bankruptcy, maybe before the affair. And you've got this angst in your soul and you feel frozen and stuck because you obviously can't go back. So what do you have for the now? What does God have for you now? Well, Sheila talks about this longing for how things used to be is very connected to God's heart and our need for him and our desperation for him. And guess what? His faithfulness to us. Having a great conversation with Sheila Walsh today. Title of her book, The Longing in Me, How Everything You Crave Leads to the Heart of God. Every time I read that subtitle, I want to cry. I must be emotional today. Email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com. Put longing in me in the subject line, or Sheila Walsh, like Heidi did. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. A couple of you will win a copy of this great book. And if you've got a question, I'm going to open the phone lines for just a couple of minutes because I want to give Sheila all the time. But if you've got a question about how to navigate how things used to be and how do I reset my course now, I'll open the phone lines for a couple minutes here. 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we will be back in a moment. More than enough. We don't always believe that. We don't always know it, and our striving shows it. But he's more than enough, and everything that we long for leads us to the heart of God. That's what my guest Sheila Walsh says today. In fact, the title of her book is The Longing in Me, How Everything You Crave Leads to the Heart of God. 877-933-2484. Like I said, we'll just give a couple minutes here to phone calls, but otherwise I want to give Sheila the rest of the time. We've got Carla checking in from Laverne, North Dakota, I believe. Hey, Carla, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having Sheila on the program. In her honesty, in her other book, Honesty, I appreciate. I'm married now. I was single, so I have more freedoms in ministry for certain things, and a calling on my life to help balance the ministry to God and your husband, but also still walk in the giftings that you have of, you know, evangelism or just you know, music, whatever you're doing. I just would like a little bit of direction.
So wisdom on balancing, you know, ministry, but also tending to your marriage as well, Carla. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you say, Sheila?
Well, first, Carla, congratulations on your marriage. That's awesome. So happy for you. And honestly, I would just have a really honest conversation with your husband. My husband and I will be married 22 years this year. Mm. And it's something that we have done every single year in our marriage because things have shifted. When we were first married, it's when I was invited. We were only 6 months married, and I was invited to join Women of Faith, which would have meant 30 weekends on the road. And I was like, well, absolutely not. But I sat down and I talked to my husband and we prayed about it and felt it was right. So then we felt it was right for us to do it as a family. So it's just, it's never been something that I've decided on my own or that he's decided on his own. It's always been something that we thought, you know, whatever is right for one of us has to be right for all of us as a family. So I would just encourage you to have a very, you know, heartfelt conversation with your husband and ask for his input. I think it would mean the world to him that what he thinks matters to you. Just say, how do you feel about this? Where do you think is a good balance? What do you think I should do? And be willing to reevaluate that, you know, every year as seasons change.
Hmm. Carla, thanks for that. You get a copy of Sheila's book. And this tension is a good one, and I love that you're talking about a win-win, because there are times when our ambitions and our dreams will get ahead of our marriage, and it's so good to have that tension to say, you know what, God knows where I live. He knows my address, and his will in my marriage doesn't contradict his will in the calling of God in my life, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, one of the things I've learned over the years is that just because there's an opportunity doesn't mean that I'm meant to take every single one. No can be a holy word. No
Indeed.
Can be a whole sentence.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Very, very good. No can be a whole sentence. That should be on a billboard. I'm just saying. So we've been talking about some of these longings, the longing to be protected and the longing for how things used to be. We talked about before the break, just speaking to that person who's, you know, maybe listening and her husband left her with her kids because he found a younger woman at work. And she remembers, man, we were happy. We weren't perfect, but we were happy. What can she do so that she's not stuck in that paralysis of analysis, that she can grieve, but maybe trust that God has a new day for her?
Which, if you are in that position right now, if you're listening in, whether you're a man or a woman, I so wish I could sit down with you and look you in the eyes and tell you that I totally get it, that you would never have chosen this crucible of suffering. I mean, that's why I've got so much from studying the life of King David, because, I mean, nobody signs up for this kind of pain and suffering. And yet the deep work that God does in this painful, lonely place is rarely produced anywhere else. Mm-hmm. My prayer for you is that even if you feel as if life has passed you over, maybe you even feel that God's not listening anymore, I want you to absolutely reject that as a lie of the enemy. Remember what Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ. There might be conviction, which comes from the Holy Spirit, but that draws you closer to God, but no condemnation. That, you know, I would just simply say, if you're in that place, allow yourself moments to grieve. Sometimes we live in such a fast-paced culture, we want to get over everything quickly. Not all things are supposed to be gotten over quickly. You know, find somebody that you can trust, who understands, you can share your heart with, but more than anything, use this as a season to just bury your head in the mane of the Lion of Judah. Study the Word of God. Press into His presence, because I promise you that what God will do in you in this process and ultimately through you will be far greater. And you will look back and think, whoa, I would never have chosen that path, but now I wouldn't change a single day.
Oh, that is such a good word, such an encouraging word. And we can be assured as we press in those places of grief, and as you say, bury our head in the mane of the Lion of Judah and get into the Word, there comes a firepower from our life. As you say, that could be found no other way. And even those who've never been asked to walk through such a thing may not even be able to understand why you've got some kind of credibility and authority in your life. But that is what happens when we reoccupy that land that enemy tried to steal from us, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things. If you look even at the life of so many people, I'm working on a new book at the moment, and it's all on this principle of falling down and rising back up again, because it's just the way life is. We fall down, but we rise back up. And every time we rise back up in history, and we rise back just like you are, Susie, with a little more fire inside of us and a little more determination, a little more understanding that this is not a battle against flesh and blood. This is a battle against spiritual powers.
So good. Okay. Another longing that you address is the longing for that one thing you think you need to be happy. Say more.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that we all would identify that differently. We might think, if I could just be married, or if I could just have a child, if I could just, there's always this one thing that we think would fit our need and would give us exactly what, you know, what we're looking for. And what I've discovered, and it actually was a little of the disillusionment that led me to write this book, was that most of us can probably attest to the fact that, you know, you think something will make you happy, and then you get it and you think, well, it's great, but it's not quite what I thought it would be. And I think that's because there is a place inside of us that is just a sacred ache. You know, it is a place that is meant for Christ and Christ alone. And it doesn't matter, you know, what we find and what we think will fulfill us. It's always a little bit less. And I've learned not to reject that place or despise that place, but to call it like a sacred ache, because it really lets us know we're not home yet, people. You know, this is like a bus ticket. This is inside of this telling us, yes, you were meant for more. So don't expect anything. Don't be disillusioned because your marriage isn't making you as perfectly happy as you thought it would. It was never designed to. Don't be disillusioned because your job doesn't give you all the satisfaction you thought it would. It's not meant to. Nothing on this earth will ever fill that place that's designed for that perfect communion with Christ alone. But if we can learn to recognize and even slip away every now and again and just get down on our knees and acknowledge the fact, Lord, this feels kind of lonely, you know, but I know that this is an ache for you, so I will not try and squelch it. I won't try and cover it with 2 pints of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I'll just accept that this is a longing for you and a longing for you alone.
So good. Sheila, you know, thinking about how often when that thing doesn't satisfy, we go to the next thing and the next thing. And when we buy something and it breaks down, we buy the next thing. And all of that numbing, it just, I feel like over time we experience that sort of law of diminishing returns where it takes more to get the same numb effect. But on the flip side, it's like what we already possess in Christ that we don't even know or haven't experienced yet. If we could stop with the cycle and start just getting to know him on a deeper level, we already have what we're looking for in that other thing. I feel like in some ways, I've walked with the Lord a long time, Sheila, but I feel like I'm twiddling around in the kiddie pool as far as it goes with this, as far as pressing in deeper, going, okay, I already have you, and this thing I long for pales in comparison to what I already have in you. Let me know you more. But every time we draw near, he draws nearer still, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that's one of the beautiful things that I, those little nuggets that when you've gone through a period of a couple of years of just pressing into something, one of the most precious nuggets for me was this profound understanding that no matter how great my longing for God is, it will never hold a candle to how great his longing is for me. And I think when you begin to understand that there's this overwhelming tidal wave of love that comes from our Father that is ongoing, that never, it doesn't abate, it doesn't quit, it doesn't weaken, it doesn't, you know, it's just, it's a constant thing. And I'm learning, I think it's like this July, I will turn 60, which is surprising. I thought my mother was 60, but apparently she's moved on.
I'm sorry, I need a minute. That's very funny. Okay, keep going.
But, you know, I think part of it is that I'm just, it's all these years of, I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. And I have this track record of the outrageous faithfulness of God, of this love relationship, of this, I mean, every single day, I, you know, when I wake up, I'm just like, Lord, I cannot wait to see what you want to do today. You know, I mean, even like last week, I'm driving out to the studio because I now work with James and Betty Robeson at Life Today.
Nice.
So I have great opportunity to be involved in TV again and also to do international trips. But I see a Starbucks and I think, oh, gosh, I'm tired. I'm going to pull over. So I pull over, get my coffee, and I'm walking out. And there's a lady sitting on the edge of the sidewalk. And the Holy Spirit said, I think would you talk to her? So I go over and I just sit down the sidewalk and I said, you know, are you okay? And she turned to me and she said, no, I'm not okay. And just pulled her story out. And we, all we did, we just sat there for 30 minutes and I listened and I prayed with her and held her as she cried and came up with a few ideas of some things we could do. But it's just this understanding that we are on mission 24/7. We don't go to church on Sunday morning and maybe if we're feeling really super spiritual, we'll go back to the Bible study. No, it's our life. It's who we are. It's our breath. It's 24/7 on mission.
Indeed and amen. This is sort of a little off topic, but not totally. But did you go through a grief period with Women of Faith ending? I mean, or did you sort of see that coming and grieve before everybody else knew that Women of Faith was coming to an end?
That's a great question because our finale, our grand finale tour was last year. And what was amazing about it was that all the original speakers came back, like Lucy Swindoll and Marilyn Meberg and Thelma Wells. And that was just such a huge joy to be able. I felt it was my job. I felt the Lord said to me, okay, here's your assignment for this season. I want you to honor these women, and I want you to help them cross the finishing line with flying colors. Mm. And it was just such a joy to work with my friends again. But I had such a sense that it was coming to an end that I feel like I had done a lot of my grieving and saying goodbye to that season. And in fact, when I knew, I mean, it was maybe like we had 2-3 months left, that's when my friends James and Betty Robinson asked me to come to their house for lunch and said, you know, we just really feel called to invite you to join our leadership team. And the thing I love about it, Susie, is I love TV, so I get to do that. But not only that, I get to do their missions programs. I mean, I just got back from the Dominican Republic, and in 3 weeks, I'm going to Angola and Africa, where there is the worst drought there has been. I mean, it's pictures we haven't seen since the 1980s. But we have the privilege of going and providing food and water for these children in these villages so that they can go to school. So it's just, to me, to be able to express the life of Christ, not just in what we say or what we write, but with our hands and with our feet. I'm excited for this new season.
Wow. You know, it's amazing how he scoops up and he gets you ready for a next season. And again, if you could have gotten so stuck in the grief of going, I don't want this to end, that you're not looking up to see what he's about to begin. But he makes all things new. He's always up to something new. And the fact that you'd trust him, and there it was, right there. So if you're in a season now and it seems like something's coming to an end, instead of getting too wrapped up in what used to be, look up for what might be, what God's getting ready for you. Talking to Sheila Walsh, when we come back, we're going to talk about that longing to make everything right. You know, so much of our anxiety comes from trying to control things that are out of our control. So how do we untangle ourselves from that one? Sheila Walsh will address that when we return. Remember this, the star-breathing God, the one who put the oceans in place and the mountains, he loves you. He loves you. He knows where you live. He knows your address. He knows the longings of your heart. And if he's making you wait for something, it's because he's making you ready. He's an invested, loving father. He's not going to send you out not ready. And he's got your best interests in mind. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Sheila Walsh today about her book, The Longing in Me. And she writes, although he seriously messed up in many ways, David had such an out-loud, honest, vibrant relationship with God that even when he tended sheep by himself, he was clearly never alone because he knew who his protector was. We're looking at some of these longings that you identify in the book, Sheila, and how they really just point us back to God if we can be honest about them and kind of redirect. Talk about this longing to make everything right, especially for that person listening today who's tied up in knots with anxiety, trying to control things maybe that he or she cannot control.
You know, I think one of the most primal needs in a woman is to take care of our family. You know, we want to make sure that our home is a place where our family want to be, that it's peaceful, that our husbands are doing well, our children are doing well. But so often when our family are not, you know, like lining up and doing what we think they should do, that's when control becomes dangerous. It moves from being something that moves from a good place of being protectiveness to being a manipulative thing. And I thinking we tend to fall into one of three categories. We either, you know, spiritualize our behavior when we can't get them to act right, you know, and it's like, well, the only reason I'm not upset with you because you don't is that, you know, I don't believe what you're doing is what the Lord wants. You know, we just try and throw out the Lord card, or else, you know, we punish them. You know, we get mad. But I think mine has always been that I do the worst one, I think, is withdrawal. You know, I won't yell and scream at you. I just won't talk at all. I just withdraw. And I think that we forget that ultimately there's very little that we can do. I mean, if you can't even control your own weight, how do you control how anybody else is going to behave around you? I mean, control is always such an illusion, and yet it's something that we really long for. But if we could begin to even wrap our heads a little bit around the fact that no matter how much I love my son, which is off the charts, it doesn't hold a candle to how much God loves Christian. I mean, he loves him even more. Same with my husband. And he loves me even more than I would ever want to be loved by. I wouldn't even have the common sense to ask for. But I think there's such... It's funny. I don't know if you've ever seen that series. It's like something you order online. They call the Giving Keys. And you get, you know, though it's like a key and it's got a word engraved in it. And you hold on to it for a while and then you pass it on to somebody who needs it. And I just ordered one that has the word let go on it, because I've learned the beauty of that. Surrender is not a defeatist word in the kingdom of God. Surrender is a word of strength and power. It's finally recognizing that God knows what he's doing way more than I do. And so I can actually relinquish control to him. That's wisdom. Because, I mean, the first verse in the Psalms I memorized is, you know, a very famous verse, be still and know that I am God. But, you know, be still, it's kind of confusing. I mean, I used to sit around and try and be still, but it's what actually means. Psalm 46, verse 10, if you look at the Hebrew root, be still means let go, relinquish control. And that reads so differently. You know, let go and know that I am God. Relinquish control of your life and see what I will do, the thing that only I can do.
Wow. You know, as you study David's life, were there any things, I mean, you're a woman who's been much in the Word of God over the years, but I know as you're digging in for a particular project, you tend to mine treasures and even find treasures that you didn't otherwise see. Anything about David's life surprise you, draw you in as you got ready to write this book?
Yeah, actually, there was. In fact, it was funny. Some of my close girlfriends were like, okay, you know, you've written this book in which you're sharing for the first time the devastation of your first marriage, and you choose David as your companion, you know, somebody who had an affair with another man's wife and then had, I mean, why on earth would you do that? And I said, because I have to get to the bottom of why he's called a man after God's own heart. And here's the thing that really blew me away, Susie. I'd never noticed before, and David does it twice. You know, he knows he's already been anointed by Samuel. He knows he's supposed to be king. But Saul is the king, and so David honors him. And after killing Goliath, he's brought into the palace. But it soon becomes clear to David that Saul is a man who can no longer hear the voice of God. And the more that the Spirit pulls away from Saul, Saul becomes a man who literally is mad. He is losing his mind. And so here's what David does. David leaves, but he leaves alone. That is almost unheard of in our culture. Yeah. If we recognize a situation is not healthy, or something's not good, or something in a church, we may leave, but we want to take a bunch of people with us because we want everyone to think, you know, I'm not leaving because there's something wrong with me. You know, we all agree there's something weird here. But even later on in David's life, when he had been king for years, and Israel was the richest and most at peace that they'd been in all of David's reign, when his son Absalom comes up against him to try and force him out. And all of David's people said, listen, the people still love you. You know, stand against him. David again walks out of Jerusalem alone because his basic belief is, if God's done with me, I'm done. And if he's not, there's nothing anyone can ever do. And I think that just shows this profound awareness of the sovereignty of God in David's life.
So good.
He did not want to fight for one thing that was not his.
And he knows that God will fight for him. Another scene I'm thinking of is David is, you know, here he's got this clear call over his life and a promise to be king.
Yeah.
He's in the cave. Saul is within his reach as Saul is going to the bathroom. And his men even are like, he's delivered him into your hands. How many times have we justified grabbing for ourselves? Well, God promised it for me. It's within my reach. I'm grabbing it. And even that, David knew his time wasn't yet. The kind of restraint and humility it took for him to say, even now, nope, it's not yet time. Boy, we could learn something there, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is just absolutely beautiful. But it speaks to his belief in the fact that God is good and God is in control.
Hmm. Well, when you look at the season of your life that you're in, now you're entering a new season with James and Betty. Love them. I've been on their show a couple times. They're dear, dear, dear people. So it fits. I can see why they would love you and you'd love them and you're on their team. But what are you experiencing of God right now? You've got this pinched nerve in your neck, but you've got a new season of ministry. So there's always blessings and burdens in each of our different seasons. But what are you experiencing of God and just seeking him for in these days?
You know what I'm really loving? I mean, our son Christian has just finished up his first year at Texas A&M. So it's a different season for Barry and I. You know, we suddenly have time that we didn't have before. And we sold our house because, you know, we didn't need a bigger house. Plus, there's some more story about that in the book that talks about our bankruptcy. But we, you know, rented a place, a townhouse that we love with a pretty little garden in the back. And so what we do every morning is we come down and make coffee, and then we both spend 2 hours, at least 2 hours, where we just sit with the Word of God and a notebook open in front of us. And we just listen. You know, we read and we listen. And most of the time we do it, I mean, we sit together, but we do it individually. But it's such a rich season for you just to be able to sit and say, Lord, if there's anything you want to say to me, I'm listening. I want to hear. I want to dive deep into your Word. But most of all, I just want to hear from your heart.
Hmm. Wow, I just love you, Sheila. Pray that someday, Lord, allow us to have our paths cross and we can serve together. I would love that. Just love your heart so much. Wondering if you'd pray for that person who's right in the thick of the valley of the shadow and wants to smile again, wants to hope again. Would you pray for her today?
Yes, I'd be an honor. Father God, how we love that you welcome us into your presence. You're waiting for us. There's never a moment where we feel as if you're too busy or too many other important things that you welcome us. And Lord, I lift up every sister, every brother who's listening in right now and who's struggling, who just thinks that nobody notices them, that they're just not important. Or if you loved them more, they wouldn't be carrying such burdens. Lord, I pray for a tangible sense of your Holy Spirit with them right now. I pray that you would speak peace into the depths of their being and that there would be a fresh sense of knowing you are my beloved daughter and I love you. Lord, I pray for courage and strength in these days that we will rise up and live as sons and daughters of the King of Kings. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear Sheila, thank you for being such a shepherd to the sheep. Appreciate you more than I can express.
Oh, I love you, Susie. I love you. And I echo that prayer. Let's work together.
Indeed, indeed. Title of Sheila's book, The Longing in Me. It's a beautiful book. Subtitle, How Everything You Crave Leads to the Heart of God. Love to get your name in the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Sheila Walsh in the subject line. Give me your mailing address, and your name will go in the drawing.
My life will burn for you. Because your light shines in the darkness. I was hopeless, and you lifted up my head. To sing for joy.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.